The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I put in my little introductory thing that I've always been interested in sports. One of the things I didn't say in there is that for 2 years when I was in college, I was not a sports writer, the sports writer for a small daily newspaper in South Dakota. And so always been interested in the scoring systems. Have you ever noticed that? So you can ask, what was the score? But were you high or low? Was that good or bad? Having a score to match your age is terrific in golf, but it's lousy bowling, right? Low score is great in cross country, as some of the Buffalo kids found out a couple of weeks back in the cross country meets. How's your form? Now, that's important in figure skating and diving, where that's part of your score, but it's pretty irrelevant in golf and bowling. There, it's a question of how many and not how. Interesting is that our society is so obsessed with keeping score in a variety of ways. Some scores are announced directly, others indirectly, maybe by the size of your home or the logo on your car. If you move into a new culture, one thing you have to learn is the scoring system they use there. What things are really valued in that society? Well, in today's gospel reading, in these sayings of Jesus, which we know as the Beatitudes, these can be read, I think, as kind of a reflection of God's scoring system, identifying the people and the qualities that God approves. When we read blessed are, I think we can substitute God has a special place for these people. The ones God approves, the ones especially embraced by God's love and compassion. Some are called blessed by reason of circumstance, they're already especially close to God. Others because God will remedy what they now have to endure. Familiar text and yet mysterious. One thing, these are not commandments, not even recommendations. Jesus doesn't say, be like this if you want to receive God's blessing. Some of them you simply can't achieve on your own. Others you wouldn't want to, like mourning or being persecuted. In only a few cases, you know, it is within our power to reflect and to pray and to work at being merciful, to see the value of making peace. I think maybe with the Spirit at work in us, we can become more meek. We can seek purity of heart. To the degree the Beatitudes guide our thinking and our behavior, they can be summed up in what Jesus said are the great commandments: love God totally and your neighbor as yourself. When I started seminary, I went to Wartburg in Dubuque, Iowa. When I started seminary, I soon noticed a familiar Luther quote on a placard that was posted in the library. I'm sure you've heard it. A Christian is a most perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a most perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Someone paraphrased that and said, it really says that you are free in Christ to serve your neighbor. When Luther wrote that, of course, he was reacting to a medieval church that had rules of all sorts, requirements, endless obligations. And so Luther wasn't saying that we are totally free to do whatever we choose, whenever we choose. If you know or remember Luther's small catechism, you know that each of the commandments from 4 through 10 was interpreted, was explained in terms of how we live in community and how we care for one another. There's a statement of Christian freedom in community. I think that's what Luther was talking about. Christian freedom means we are free from requirements to earn God's favor through our efforts. Christian servanthood, the other half of it, means, as St. Paul says in Galatians, that we become servants of one another through love. One way we can do that here in Buffalo is the business of the masks that we're all dealing with in this pandemic time. That's all about caring for your neighbor. That's what that's about. We're free to care for one another, free to be a caring community. That one thing, and other things too, you can do. Yet there's something mysterious about these words, because they show us a kingdom unlike any we have ever seen. We show us a lifestyle unlike any we have ever seen, except in Jesus himself. In his ministry, the values of the world he lived in were turned upside down. A little illustration. Years ago, I once took a picture, a slide, if you can remember those. They were a thing back when. A picture of a small lake in the Black Hills in South Dakota. It was a perfectly calm morning, and I took that picture with reflecting the evergreen trees across the lake and the stones and those things. And it was so perfect that it was hard to discern which way was right side up and which was upside down. I read once that some artist went to a gallery and discovered that one of her pictures had been hanged upside down in the gallery. Somebody hadn't recognized which way it ought to be done. So one commentator said, in the Beatitudes, we see Jesus walking right side up in an upside down world. I think that's a really good expression of the ministry of Jesus. So these words seem odd to us because the words contradict so many of our dearly held values and opinions. Here's a kingdom in which the last are first and the first last. In this kingdom, a Pharisee who has done all things morally, uprightly, and very well does not receive God's approval. And yet a tax collector whose conduct is offensive to his neighbors and who knows he's a louse winds up being justified. In this kingdom, present status and past achievements mean nothing. What counts is the future, what God is going to do, and those who are most open to God's future have the advantage. Think of it. Blessed are those who mourn. In this time of pandemic, many are grieving the loss of loved ones. At such a time, we can be assured we are held in the love of God and of others. And what about others who mourn? Those who mourn the state of society, the state of the world, who mourn violence and injustice and greed and prejudice. The point, my friends, is this. God knows that those who mourn are more open to a different future, more open to a word of promise, less caught up in the world's scoring system. In the Beatitudes, Jesus doesn't ask us to view the world with contempt. The point is not to escape or avoid the people and the things around us, but Jesus does invite us to be disentangled, disconnected to some degree from so many of the things that are part of our world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Martin Luther wrote that that beatitude goes against, quote, the greatest and most universal religion on earth, faith in success. Pretty true. We tend to admire those who have the most. The world asks, who says you can't have it all? Jesus says, blessed are those who know their need of God. People whose faith and devotion have been examples for us. People remember, we remember on this All Saints Day, are people like that. They have known their need of God. From every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, anyone. They have done justice, loved kindness, walked humbly with God. From Augustine to Martin Luther King. From St. Francis of Assisi to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. From Martin Luther to Mother Teresa. Around the world and through the centuries, that has remained unchanged. Such people more in touch with their need of God. That's not by way of instruction. It's not imperatives. It's an indicative. It's encouragement when the words of Jesus describe you. When you find yourself in that situation. When you feel spiritual poverty. Be reminded that the kingdom is not for those who are going around saying, I found it. But for people maybe like you, who just keep looking to God. When you grieve, either personal loss or the condition of the world, know your disenchantment with the world as it is makes you more ready to welcome God's coming kingdom. If it seems the world is walking all over you, remember it is God's scoring system that matters. Know that God is merciful, that the world was not saved by God's incredible power, but by the power of God's incredible love. This world's scoring system says we succeed, we win on the basis of what we've done. In God's kingdom, the only success is by way of what God has done through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. The Beatitudes then reflect his life. Seeking, and they seek you out when you don't have life under control. Finding you when you can't figure out the ways of God. But what we learn here is that meekness is the way of God. Righteousness and peace will finally prevail, and God's future will be filled with mercy, not cruelty. Blessed are those living that foolish life now, for in the end they will be vindicated by God. There was an American writer named Alexander Wolcott. He said it well. On one occasion, he was speaking to his fellow alumni from Hamilton College, and he said this, some of you are successes and some are failures, and only God knows which are which. If you believe that, blessed are you. Amen.